Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for September 29th, 2008, and on this episode, Ann Nicholson Weber interviews the executive director of the League of Chicago Theaters, Deborah Clapp. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, Chicago, and let's talk theater.
This is Ann Nicholson Weber, and you're listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. My guest this week is Deb Clapp, who is the executive director of the League of Chicago Theaters, and we're going to be talking about the League and its role in Chicago theater. So welcome, Deb.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start, just if you could explain what the League of Chicago Theaters is.
Sure. The League is an organization composed of 190 member theaters, all Chicagoland theaters. We do a number of different things. Our mission is to promote, support, and advocate for Chicago theater. So, as you can imagine, it's a wide variety of activities that we engage in to do that. We do, as you know, I think everybody knows, we do the Hot Ticks booth, which has two locations, both of them downtown, one at 72 East Randolph across from the Cultural Center, and the other one is over in the Water Tower. Also, we have Hot Ticks online. We sell Hot Ticks half price, and so if theaters have inventory left over, they can put it on Hot Ticks for half price, and it gives them another way to market in Chicago, and a lot of tourists go through Hot Ticks. We have good relationships with a lot of the concierge who send them over to the Hot Ticks booth. So that's one thing. We also do cooperative advertising, which is we buy advertising in bulk and we resell it to the theaters. And so they can buy advertising in any number of places, print media, TV, radio, and they get it at a much better price than they would get it if they were going to go out and buy advertising on their own. In addition, we have a lot of programming that is really it's member-driven. We do a lot of networking events. Our members are very interested in networking with other theaters because our members really run the gamut of who's making theater in Chicago. We have the very smallest theaters with very small budgets all the way up to Broadway in Chicago. Our members really go across the board, and they really enjoy actually getting together and talking to each other and finding both the common challenges that they face and the differences that there are between running a very small theater and running a very large theater. So we provide a lot of opportunities for networking. We also provide a lot of educational opportunities. Just this past week, we had someone come and talk to what we call our emerging theaters, our smallest members, about PR. David Rosenberg from Steppenwolf came and spoke with them and gave a demonstration of a good press release versus a bad press release, what you should and shouldn't do, those kinds of events we do on a regular basis. We also do a lot of advocacy work in the community. We've been involved in the smoking issue. Mm-hmm. We're sponsoring the Free Night of Theater. That is something that it's a national initiative run by Theater Communications Group. And what it is it's an audience development initiative. And the League has, for Chicago, the League is running it. And it's during the month of October, there 50 theaters in Chicago will be giving away free tickets to their shows. And we would love for people who have either not been before or people who maybe attend theater, but not maybe the theater in their neighborhood, try a different theater, that kind of thing. And it's sort of all wrapped up in this idea of in Chicago, there's a great theater in your neighborhood. In October, go check it out for free. That's actually, we went live with tickets for that on Tuesday, and so far it's been very successful.
So how do people get their hands on those tickets?
Go to chicagoplays.com, and there's a link there to free night.
Great. So boiling that down, essentially you're kind of a trade organization for the Chicago Theater. So it's a private organization. I think some people may have the misconception that it's somehow a government related.
It is not. We are a nonprofit, but we are not a government affiliated organization.
And you mentioned that you represent theaters across the gamut. How much does it cost to be a member?
That runs the gamut as well. Anywhere from $250 is our lowest, that's our emerging theater membership dues, all the way up to $3,000 for the largest theaters.
And so it just depends on
On your budget.
So it's kind of a sliding scale.
Yes.
And so, well, then how do you interface with the public other than through Hot Ticks? Are there other ways that you're involved with the theater-going audiences?
Only insofar as we're providing services to the theaters. We are the free night of theater that I told you about. We're also embarking on a study of online ticket buying habits, which will be very useful for the member theaters as well as for the league and its Hot Ticks arm. So these are the types of things that we get involved with in the public. They're really they all relate back to services
for the theaters.
Yeah.
Well, what I know that you're relatively new in this position. You started when?
I started part time on July 1st. I started full time on September 1st.
And what are your visions for what this organization could become?
I hope to become to be able to offer more services to more of our theaters. It's a little bit, because we have the very small and the very large, it's a little bit difficult to pinpoint exactly what services are most valuable to whom. But some of the things that that I would really like to do is to increase the number of educational programs that we do. I think that the educational programs are really important to our members, and especially to some of our smaller member theaters can benefit so much from the experience and expertise of some of our larger member theaters that I'd like to do a lot more in getting them all together in a room to talk about what exactly is going on. And I'd like for the larger theaters to understand better what it's like. I think a lot of times, a lot of these guys come from smaller storefront theaters and, were interns once upon a time. And I think that those stories are really important for the smaller theaters to hear. Mm-hmm. But I also think that they sometimes forget what it's like to run a storefront theater. So I think that to have everybody to have everybody in a room together is just the most valuable.
What do the larger theaters get out of that? And why do they come? Is it just civic duty, essentially?
Partially it's civic duty, but partially it's an understanding that Chicago would not be the theater community that it is. And I think that Chicago is, the best theater community in the world right now. And I think that everybody understands that that would not be the case if there weren't always small theaters incubating up and the talent incubating up and all of that. So I think that the big guys understand that it's all an organic community, that if you didn't have the little guys, you'd never have the big guys, right. And we wouldn't be who we are.
Right.
So,
right.
So I think that's one of the reasons that they're interested in it. Also, the advocacy, the big guys are very interested in having one voice speak for Chicago theater.
What are some of the issues besides, I mean, the smoking ban has gotten lots of press.
Yeah.
Are there other issues that are on your radar as things that are affecting Chicago theater and that you're trying to affect?
Well, it's always funding. I mean, mm-hmm. That's the one big thing. And again, that's common for everybody.
How can the league be involved? What effect can you have on that?
We can just do more advocating both in Chicago and in Springfield for the budget lines. I mean, that's and on a national level too. I think that we can get more involved in that, and also raising awareness of Chicago theater, I think, is a very important thing too. And we can do that in all of our communities. And in fact, you know, interestingly, through the Free Night program, we've gotten in touch with all the aldermen because we're neighborhood focused.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we raise the awareness of Chicago theater and what it brings to Chicago with everybody that's involved on all levels of the government, I think that you know, that leads to more funding also, you know, and that goes for you know, private foundations and corporations and all funding sources, that the more awareness you can bring, the more funding there's going to be.
How can you work? Do you have relationships with foundations, or is there ways that you are intervening in the private, or not intervening, but trying to influence the private funding sources?
Just the whole idea of awareness. And in fact, just last night I happened to be at an event and I was talking to a couple of folks from private foundations, and they were very, very interested. They don't necessarily have the information on, and I don't mean to bring everything back to the small companies,
mm-hmm.
but the small companies are not on their radar.
Right, right.
And so they were really, like, they were so interested in who are the small companies? Who have you been talking to? What are they doing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that way, the league can be very effective. We have that sort of wide range of knowledge of everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm. And how do you collect that? Just what's your source of information?
We go out and see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really feel like there's almost nothing that doesn't really, in one way or another, come to us, whether it's our members talking about it with us and saying, oh, have you heard of such and such a company?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you see this show? Or all those kinds of things. So again, it really sort of, it's in any number of ways it comes to us, but mostly the theaters themselves know who we are. And I think that there's a network of people out there who talk to each other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the city, I feel, is reasonably aware of and supportive.
Very
of,
supportive,
right,
yeah. The Department of Cultural Affairs, actually, they do a really great job.
Yeah.
And they are very, very interested in supporting theater in this community.
So you talked about this most recent free tickets initiative. Are there other ways that you're hoping to increase audiences?
Well, we do have a very successful program called Theater Thursdays, which is all of our member theaters reserve a Thursday. And it's an audience development initiative. The theaters actually sell the tickets for a reduced price, and the patrons come in and have a glass of wine and either talk to the artistic director or maybe some of the actors. They do a little meet and greet and a program. It's really up to the theater what they do, and the league is really sort of the central clearinghouse for what date you have. We also provide you with leads on where you might get donated food or liquor or all of those kinds of things. And then And then it's really up to the theaters, and we do some advertising for it. And, you know, each week it's a different theater. So we'll put an ad out there saying Theater Thursdays this week is, and we also have an email that we send out to, I think it's 15,000 people every week about Theater Thursdays. Yeah. So that's actually been a really great program for us and for the theaters too, because again, it's about, getting new audiences into your theaters.
Does it tend to be the same core group of audience members who are going from theater to theater?
A lot of them are, but a lot of them are also, you know, each time we get somebody who we haven't seen before. So, and that person, you know, hopefully it's up to the theater then to actually get that person back to their theater. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's all about with these audience development initiatives. All we can really do is get them there the first time and then it's up to you. We do provide a lot of resources to let you know what a good way might be to do that and all those kinds of things. The best way is to put on a great show. And then also, you know, just the direct contact, which is what Theater Thursdays is all about, is really crucially important in order to get people engaged with your theater. So if you're actually, if you're the artistic director or the manager and you're talking to the patron who's there that night for Theater Thursday, and then the next week you send them an email saying, hey, you know, great to see you at Theater Thursday, come on back for, they're much more likely to return to your theater. So,
and what do you know about how to grow audiences that is expertise that you're helping theaters build on? You said, for instance, we give them ideas about how to do that. What are the five tips that you pass on to your members?
Well, there's the, again, the personal connection. I just can't emphasize enough how important that is to actually shake people's hand. Number two is the communication. You have to communicate with them after they've left in some form or fashion.
I'm going to be impressed if you actually come up with five.
Yeah, right.
I just threw that out. Three is good, too.
Okay, three would be good. Okay, great. It's not actually, you know, audience development is not my personal area of expertise, so it is a little hard for me. But what we do, what the League does, is we're sort of a central clearinghouse for all kinds of information. So the Free Night of Theater, for instance, we're doing in collaboration with Theater Communications Group, and Theater Communications Group has actually been collecting this kind of information for years.
Well, what do you see as being the biggest challenges facing theater writ large, capital T, right now in our city or in our culture more broadly, if you want to really take the big picture?
Yeah, I think the number one biggest challenge is how do we fit the art, right? There's this idea, I'm going to be really abstract for a second, but
it's a pretty abstract question, so that's understandable.
So there's the idea of social networking, okay, this competition for people's time, right? And the whole idea of, and it doesn't really relate to social networking, but it does in a way, in that, you know, we are very much becoming a culture that has to have that immediate experience just for me. And theater is a very communal thing. But I do think that we need to find ways to make the experience more personal for our audiences. In some way, we need to engage them in a one-on-one kind of a way. And I think that that's the biggest challenge facing us right now, is that we have to find a way for our art form to become a part of that culture.
I'm thinking of a friend of mine who's a classical musician who is very anti-iPod because people just listen to what they already know.
Right.
And that sort of a customization, as you're pointing out, is it becomes a limitation on people's interest.
Mm-hmm.
But also, as you said, it is difficult to conceive how you bridge that. If people aren't willing to come to the theater to see what the theater artists want to talk about, then there is no theater. Because
right.
theater artists can't talk about what you want me to talk about. They have to talk about what they have something to say about.
Mm-hmm.
So you've raised a wonderful conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
What's the answer?
I don't know. But I think that's the... that's for people way smarter than me. just the whole idea of it. And I was reading a study recently about high school students' perceptions of theater. And it was so interesting because it really was all about, you are not talking to me. So why would I come there? And I think that there's a way. There's definitely a way. I also recently read something that said, in fact, people are, you know, we have this perception that everybody's staying home and watching movies and being on their computers. But I actually read a study recently that people are actually going out more, and that to some degree that's due to social networking. For people are more able to zero in on those events that are most appealing to them.
Mm-hmm.
So
so they can find it if
right.
it's there. Well, before we ask you to solve that problem,
okay,
the Chicago theaters are really asking you to solve very practical problems, I imagine, about the smoking ban, about, you know, ticketing and so forth. So we won't try to overwhelm you with changing the culture.
Okay.
But it certainly is an interesting
It is. And, of course,
issue.
We're facing any number of, you know, economic issues and energy costs and... there's this new thing about the white space. Have you heard anything about this?
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting, actually. And I'm not sure I have a deep and full understanding of it, but it's about wireless mics and headsets, which we can't do without in theater. And there's the interference in the white space.
The white space is literally the airwaves
air.
Within their
right,
theater.
Right, right. So it's quite complicated and quite interesting.
Well, is there anything else you want to throw in about the league or the services you're offering before we close down?
No, just thank you so much.
And, oh, I have one more question.
Sure.
How do people who want to take advantage of the Theater Thursdays, how do they... do that.
Once again, chicagoplays.com. They go on the website and there's a button right there for Theater Thursdays. Although it's not there during the month of October because that's free night and we're not doing Theater Thursdays during the month of October.
Instead, you get to go free.
Instead, it's free. So even better.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Deb.
Thank you.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of September 29th, 2008. Victory Gardens Theater is providing an opportunity for parents to experience award-winning theater without the bother of finding a babysitter. At Victory Gardens Family Saturday performances this season, parents will watch the show while education professionals watch your kids. 6 Family Saturdays, one per production, are slated for this upcoming season and kicks off on Saturday, October 18th with Eurydice by Sarah Rule. Victory Gardens staff will keep children for and up entertained with theater games, crafts, and storytelling as parents enjoy a classic Greek myth on the beautiful new Biograph Theater main stage. Parents are encouraged to check in on the kids during intermission and join them for free gourmet cupcakes provided by Swirls Cupcakes. For more information about tickets and the performing schedule for the Victory Gardens Family Saturdays, click on over to Theater in Chicago's news section. Eileen Bovers, founder and former executive artistic director of Apple Tree Theater in Highland Park, will receive a special Jeff Award at this year's ceremony. Miss Bovert has produced, directed, taught, performed, and written for Appletree Theater since its founding back in 1983, and during that time has received 112 Jeff nominations and 28 Jeff Awards. She's also founded the Performing Arts Workshop in 1970 and started a traveling troupe for the workshop, which has performed and traveled extensively promoting Chicago as a center for new emerging artists. Other achievements include founding the Theater for Young Audiences and being recognized by the Chicago Tribune as a Chicagoan of the Year. The 40th annual Jeff Awards ceremony will be held on Monday, October 20th at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie. Chicago Magazine has profiled 9 actors that make for hot box office sales this fall season. Shattered Globe's Linda Ryder, The Goodman's Scrooge, Larry Yando, Writers Theatre Elizabeth Laidlaw, Turn of the Century's Kevin Goodall, Profiles Theatre's Daryl W. Cox, 16th Street Theatre's Stephanie Diaz, The Hypocrite's Jennifer Grace, Steppenwolf's John Hill, and Court Theatre's Ife Butler all received an exclusive multimedia profile in the magazine. Congratulations goes to the 9 actors, and we look forward to interviewing the rest of them here on Talk Theater in Chicago. Be sure to check out the previous interviews in our archives. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago, and I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Deborah Clapp for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. I would also like to thank Ann Nicholson Weber and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we will be here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.